This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
One of your gifts is knowledge. Is that what you said?
Wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, and leadership would be my top four.
So you've studied the Bible.
That's my degree, is in biblical studies.
Yeah. Which, and that is such a resource that you have. And you studied it, and it also, you've studied your heart within the Bible. So it's not like you have, let me quote this to you and tell you what this is, which I feel like some of us get so turned off from church.
Totally, yeah.
Me being number one person to get turned off from church, because I'm like, you're just telling me something and a rule, but there's no real...
Especially if you're coming to church with this same cycle of, great, another place where I have to measure up and prove myself.
And I just got
to
do it. I just got to figure out how to do this, because I got to be, I got to do it right, and I've got to be accepted. Yes. So let me just follow the rules that the church is telling me so I can be accepted. And then I'll go to God, because all I got to do is just follow these rules. Mm-hmm. But it's not resonating with me. I don't feel connected. I don't feel in line. But they all told me I had to do this, and these are the people I'm looking up to.
Yeah.
And they're the ones holding the key to the gates, so I got to follow the orders.
That's the classic message of religion.
And that's why I kind of like strayed away from religion for a long time, because I was like, I didn't have the strength, the personal strength, because I didn't have the worth to like understand why I felt this way. So I just sort of left for a while. And I always had a relationship with God, but like, I was like, religion is really not for me.
Yeah. There's a difference. It's like, I always joke that I feel like I came out of the womb. Like, I was probably like worshiping in the womb. Like, I think my first day in church was like on day seven of my life. You know, like, my dad's always worked in church, and my mom, and, you know, my mom is a teacher. And early on in my life, there was this unshakable, like, I always believed that God existed, but Jesus didn't become my savior until I was seven, when I like consciously understood the gospel message and, you know, got baptized and accepted him into my heart. But he didn't become my Lord until I broke up with that boyfriend who gave me the list.
After 4 years.
Yeah. It wasn't until I was like nearing that 18-year-old mark where the reality of like, wait, way that I'm living and what I know that I believe is not the same. These things are not in alignment. There's something off. And the character that I know of you, you're good. When I read your word, I see you've created me intentionally. You've breathed purpose and joy, and you delight in me. But what I'm carrying is this pressure of performance in church, or pressure to perform for this boyfriend, or measure up to this standard or that standard. And when Jesus became my Lord, it's not this like, oh my gosh, you know, Now it's just like, I bow before thee and everything. Just, you know, like we have all of these words. Even the word Lord comes with the whole framework of our lives, our experience, our worldview that can shape even the way that you hear that word in a tone. But for me, when I hear the word Lord, it's this like, it's like when you fall in love with someone who just loves you and wants the best for you. And it's so easy to submit underneath that person because they delight in you and you delight in them. And it's easy to say, yes, and I trust you and I love you. For certain people, it takes a journey of healing to be able to see God for who he is rather than what other people have perceived him to be or have portrayed you to be. Yeah. But when you know him, and this is something that I have to ask, especially here in Nashville, is you never ask people like, so do you believe in God? You know, everyone's like, yeah, I like live in Brentwood. We got like, I remember the first time that it's I came
church
here.
Church in every corner.
We're like, yeah, I grew up in Northern Nevada, where in Nevada, prostitution's legal and gambling's legal. And
what is that like to live with that all being legal?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we have one of the highest teen suicides rates and teen pregnancy rates and everything in the area where I was. And the church to population of people ratio was very low. So when I came here and there's a church on every single corner.
So church is not a big thing in Nevada.
No.
Nevada.
No. Nevada. I mean, tomato, if you're from tomato. Nevada, you say Nevada, okay, but well, everywhere else Nevada. Says Nevada. I think it's actually phonetically correct to say Nevada, but like Nevada, whatever. I receive either one. I came here and I thought, oh, wow, this is so interesting. I think it's what's drawing a lot of people to this area now is that they're like desiring this hope as an anchor of something that's a core value that's meaningful, that's built into the framework of society. You see people moving here every second, you know, from all over the country. But for me, I remember looking at it and thinking, this is so strange because I don't know if they actually realize the reality of what it means to have an encounter with God that changes you, that moves it from relationship or routine or ritual into a deep-rooted intimate relationship with a God who loves them. Not just rule, not just regulation, but intimacy.
Do you feel like you have to go through something painful to get there? Because I feel like a lot of times to get to that place, something kind of has to like fall apart. For me, at least, it has.
Mm-hmm. It might be for certain people. And for others, I think it actually just depends on your framework. Mm. You know, if you need mercy, God will meet you with mercy. If you need knowledge, he'll meet you with knowledge. Like, you know, he's going to reveal the truth of who he is to you
in the way that you
can receive it. It's just the goodness of God. He created you. He knows what you need. So if your life has been marked by pain and shame and you're needing tending, then it'll probably come through healing and care and kindness. It actually says in the Bible that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So however that kindness shows up, for one friend, it might be, you know, this logical understanding. For another friend, it might be this emotional care. For another, it might be, you know, the presence of a person who loved them. But no matter what, he will and can reveal himself. He's doing it to you in your life right now. He does it for me every day. He's doing it in the stick in the pot with the, you know, with the leaves at the top. If our eyes are open for him, he's faithful to reveal himself. And when he enters the story, then worth is anchored and established in him. So when my body changes and when my finances change and when my business changes and all these other things, there's this place that I can come back to that is a sure foundation that cannot be rocked. There is a moment when I had my daughter, I was shortly after I had my daughter, she's 5 now. And my business had this season where like the bottom just kind of like fell out from underneath it. And I was kind of scrambling like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay our bills? And
of course, right at the same time you have your daughter.
Exactly.
It always
ends up happening. And a friend from college that I had not talked to for a very long time was like, hey, I listened to this podcast and I got to send it to you, which it's funny. God's always brought podcasts, which is the reason why I'm like, I got to start a podcast because maybe somebody will like send a podcast. You know, like this was a like life altering moment for me. I've never talked to this woman. I don't know this woman. I don't even remember her name. I just remember what she said, which is just another validation for you that the work you're doing matters. But all alone in my kitchen, I'm cooking. And it's this woman who had built her entire life on communicating. She was an author and speaker. And she got tongue cancer.
Tongue cancer.
Of all things, right? Her whole life has been built on her ability to communicate and speak. And when you're listening to her on this podcast, it's hard to understand her because she's had to relearn how to communicate without a tongue.
She doesn't have a tongue.
No, she had to have it removed because of the cancer. And the platform of suffering always ends up giving you you want to sit on the edge of your seat. Like, what's this girl got to say? Like, she could say anything. And I'm listening a little bit more intently because of the suffering that she's endured. And what she said was so profound. She said, if you can lose it, then it's not who you are. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That makes me that.
Right? It's like,
can lose it, then it's not who you are.
If you can lose it, it's not who you are. Think of anything.
Well, we can lose everything.
Except
God.
Yeah. And the soul that he has
given us. Our own blueprint.
Yeah. It's what I will exit this life and enter into the next life with is the soul that God and I have grown together. It's what I'll bring with me. The house, it'll stay. My family, it'll stay. My business, it'll stay. My ability, my impact, my legacy here on earth, that'll stay here. What I carry with me, and I think about this all the time, even in like my struggles of treating my body like a project, you know, no one's going to look over my grave and be like, Tori had such an amazing six pack. Like if they do, I'd be like, I'll like open my eyes and be like, dude, like really? That's like the only thing, you know? But why I'm spending hours of my time obsessing and focused on my six pack abs when my body is going to someday be put into the ground and decay. That's weird to think about.
No.
But there's this, there's a proverb that says, teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. My life is but a breath. I'm here for a moment and it's gone. It's like fog on glass. So in the short bit of life that I have here on this earth, what does it look like to live for eternity where I'm not just bound by the 80 years that I have on this earth and what I could somehow strive myself to create, you know, and hold on to as a sense of security only to be put into the ground and decay and leave it all behind me? It's the question that Solomon asks in all of the book of Ecclesiastes, who's like, I've had all the wealth and all of the prestige and all the women and all the riches and all this. And he's like,
he lived a rock star life.
It's vanity. It's vanity. It's the reason why you see these rock stars committing suicide, or yes, like, it's still not it. It's still not this worthiness. But if I can lose it, it's not who I am, which means that there is an identity and a purpose and a worth that is anchored in the God that goes with me now and for all of eternity, that will come, will be with me on my last moment of breath. And as I exit this world and enter into the next, he will be with me. So what does it look like to live a life not near God, not around God, but with him now, that he is a source of loving wisdom that will tend to every place of brokenness in our story so that we can live in that eternal reality now in the most practical ways, you know, in the asking of forgiveness, in the stopping my 65 hard challenge and picking up my bowl of ice cream and snuggling with my husband.
How did you feel when you stopped at day 65? And why did you know you had to stop?
I just knew that I needed to stop because if I finished, then I would still be agreeing with the belief that I can prove my worth by what I do.
Okay.
And I stopped because day 65 was enough. I can do hard things. Thank you, God. But I can't do the hardest thing, which is secure my worthiness. That's a job that only God can do for me. So this was just me and my story for this particular circumstance, was day 65 was agreeing with that truth and saying, all right, I'm going to lay this down then. I'm going to trust you that the next 10 days of me finishing this challenge doesn't give me any greater sense of worth or not. I'm going to actually enter into it right now on day 65.
That was a breakthrough.
Yeah. It's funny because ever since then, though, I've still wanted to go back. I wasn't as ripped as I was on day 65, you know, like I need to go this and that. And I'm like, no, actually. And it's just this realignment. It's this back to obedience. My body is good. God is good. He's faithful. He's with me. And I'm so grateful I have this amazing body that's alive and breathing, and I can walk around and I can do hard things with it. And I'm sitting here talking to you with it, you know, like yeah. This is the most important thing about me that I bring to the room isn't my abs or how chiseled my, you know, my body looks. The thing that I bring to the room that no one else has is the soul that God and I are nurturing and growing together. And anything that can keep me from restraining that to be present in the room, the better. You know, that doesn't mean I forsake, like, you know, health and stuff. Like, I still move my body. I still eat nourishing food, but it's the striving that needs to cease. It's the stress and the insecurity that has to be addressed, laid down and surrendered before God to pick up freedom and love and forgiveness and mercy so that I can offer that to other people.
It's so interesting, everyone's story, because I'm sitting here thinking about like body image and things like that and how that affects so much. And like, I'm thinking about my story and what I have been telling myself. And a big one is I'm not worth it. I'm second choice. Like, I don't have anything to offer.
Yeah.
So then I'm also like, I also have this other part of me where I need everyone to like me. And I don't want anyone to feel bad about themselves being around me because I need you to like me. So like, I also chase validation when I was younger from like beauty and having a perfect body and all those things. I took lots of diet pills, like was bulimic for a little while, like did a lot of things to get this perfect image. But then it like cycled into a new place where it's like, now if I actually, if I feel like I am too physically like together, like have too much going on physically, then I actually feel very, very, very shameful because I don't want anyone else to feel bad about themselves if I actually have too much going on. And that was a big reason why I like cut off my long blonde hair. Because I didn't want to draw attention in beauty, because I'm like, I don't want anyone to look at me and feel bad about, and they're not, this is my own lie. Like, I don't want you to, because it goes back to, you didn't do anything to deserve this. You shouldn't have beauty. You shouldn't have recognition for it. You shouldn't be praised for this. So make it smaller or figure out how to do it different. Like, I just like, I wasn't comfortable having that attention. And I finally, I hit this breaking point. I woke up one day, I was like, I have to cut and dye my hair. Like, I had to do it that day. I cut it all off and dyed it within one day. And I've had long blonde hair my entire life.
How'd you feel after?
Amazing.
Really?
Yes. Amazing. Because I feel like now I'm just going to let it, I'm going to just let it be what it wants to be without doing anything to it. And then I can own that beauty because I'm not trying to put something on me to be beautiful. It can just be naturally instead of me trying to chase it and get it to be it so people will see it. It's like, I just want to be what it is.
Yeah, it's
such a mind F. I really cuss all the time, but I don't know if you do. So I don't want to like ruin your content with F-bombs.
Somebody could though do anything, whether it's in some person's framework or perspective morally right or wrong, but if the motive is still to prove yourself or earn worth or this like selfish ambition, there's a verse in James that says where selfish ambition exists, there will follow every evil and every evil practice and all discord. And so I know that I'm like, there's certain season or there's certain things that I know that I'll never do in relation to this topic of like, well, like, I probably wouldn't choose to have plastic surgery, mainly just because it doesn't matter if somebody else wants to do it for whatever reason. I know that my intrinsic motivation would be to try to improve or better my body to earn more love and belonging or
from others.
Or beauty from others. I'm like, oh, I actually don't need that from anybody else. So I probably won't ever engage in that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's theirs to decide and own. But there is this beauty of like when you step into like a moment of freedom, whether it's I'm cutting my hair off and I'm dyeing it because I'm keeping it blonde in order to like gain attention and love and whatever from other people.
And that was just me because I love blonde hair and I think so many people look great with it. That's like,
and you could.
go back.
You can go back.
Yeah.
And
but for this moment, I needed to do that for myself.
Is that those? These are these moments where the Holy Spirit can just be prodding a little moment of like, would you just release this so that then later on when there's bigger things, we have a higher tolerance of surrender and an ability to experience even deeper levels of freedom. And it's so good because it keeps us a little uncomfortable and it keeps us always checking and considering what's the motive for this action. And it could just be like, man, no big deal. I'm just going to like dye my hair or cut it or change it up. Or it could be like, actually, this is like something deeper that's happening inside of me that I need to be really aware of. It's good because when you have that intuition, then all of life holds some sort of, it's a bridge between the natural and the spiritual, where it's not just like everything is just natural and doesn't matter and my body doesn't matter and this and that. There's a bridge between the natural and the spiritual where they all intersect on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what Jesus is saying. He's like, it's all spiritual. It all has a spiritual reality attached to the natural choices in our everyday.
So you have to get in tune with doing it for the right spiritual reason.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't matter if you have a so-called perfect abs or perfect body or whatever, if I wanted to have long blonde hair or whatever, if it is for a reason that is like, what would that be?
It's and
like,
the flip side could even be, you know, well, I'm overweight or something. And it's like, God's not worthy and he won't talk to me or encounter me or use me for anything because I'm overweight. It could be the total opposite. And I'm like,
there's shame on both sides. There's shame
on every side.
There's shame on both sides. If you let it all go and you're just going to like give glory to like being who you want to be because you're not going to worry about vanity, then there's going to be shame there probably or not. But if you try too hard and you try to keep up and you try to do all these things to your body to be a certain way to be approved, then there's shame there because you're not doing. So it's like, how do we get to a place? Because body is a huge issue for everyone. How do we get to this place where we feel like we're living? We can be proud of the body that we are presenting to God because we know we are walking the spiritual walk with him. Because I feel like that's a really hard place to get. And I hate to bring it back to body image, but it's a huge thing.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
I think it just comes back to the same thing that we were talking before. It's if the worth and your identity is anchored in who God says that you are right now. Whether I have 100 pounds to lose or I need to stop overexerting my energy in the gym or I need to break bulimia over myself or I need to restrain from eating that extra two meals after 8 p.m. Still, the motive for both of these things is a grasping for security, a grasping for pleasure, a grasping for purpose, a grasping for comfort, for the needs of our heart. And that can be going to overstriving or apathy or whatever the outcome is. But when for every human being, this is just like the glory of God, is that when it all comes back to God and his ability, God and his worthiness, his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his purpose, then when we realign there, it realigns everything. we're created in the image of God, just like God is three in one. We are three in one, mind, body, spirit. So when we come into alignment with how we were designed by God, you have to
tend all of them.
It all realigns. Yep.
Mind, body, and spirit. You cannot ignore any of them.
No. They're all a necessary element to our design as image bearers of God.
So we have to tend to all of them, but we have to get, I'm exactly repeating what you say, we have to get in alignment with all of them. And that is how, that is why you created this course, was because you have felt what it feels like. You have always felt God's presence, but you have felt what it feels like to be chasing something that is not in alignment.
Yeah.
And you had enough wisdom and knowingness that there is a bigger meaning behind all this, and there is a bigger purpose to our existence here, that you created this course for that purpose.
Yeah, it's just the, like the people, like with the question that you're asking, I'm just like, so like, we always want to go to, what do I do? You know, so like, what now? What do I do? And I love, I'm a practical person at heart. Like, I want to offer the practicality and the steps of bridging the gap between the spiritual and natural for ambitious women of faith, because I've been, I think, given a gift by God that I encountered him early in my life, and I'm able to usher people into his presence. Like, it's not about me having the right answers for you or you finding it for yourself. God has it for you. Like, let's go discover it together. That's the desire for this. And I think it's a great starting point. It's not the ending point. It's like guideposts toward a life that's lived in the presence of God. He's like the best mentor if we're willing to listen, you know.
Right.
Like Jesus goes, give them ears to hear, you know, give them ears to hear, a mind to know. I'm like, that's what I want. I just want ears to hear. And this Work From Ruth course establishes a couple key things. Like,
yeah, let's go through the outline.
Sure.
So what are you going to be, what is the process of this course that people will take away? Because it's really powerful.
So there's six steps. The first is just what we've been talking about, the workmanship piece of what it means that you are created by God with his image, and how working is actually an essential element to your design. And the the warning signs that show us that things are out of alignment.
Okay,
let's a lot about all this conversation, which is
Did I miss it?
Right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there warning are signs. Some warning signs.
Like, which ones stood out to you?
Okay.
For warning signs.
So warning signs. So this is when you're working for worth and when you're working from worth. Okay, let's see. I feel like mine would be, you blame yourself for other people's unmet expectations, emotions, and failures. Mm. I feel like that would probably be the main thing, because mine would be, I am blaming myself for everyone else's happiness, because I feel like that is what I have to give people. Mm-hmm. I need to give people happiness so they will love me.
Yeah. And what would the evidence of working from a place of worthiness look like? It's right on the other side.
Oh, it's the same one.
Yeah.
You made that so easy. You empathize with people's expectations, emotions, and failures, but they don't define you. I mean, really, out of all of mine, I feel like I don't have I can narrow it. That's what's so nice about this is you have so many. It's it for me. Like,
yeah. 'Cause
like some of them are like, you're resentful of others and their lack of concern for your needs. I don't feel that.
Yeah.
Your experience, physical stress in your body, skin breaking out, lack of sleep, stomach aches, hormone imbalance, adrenaline fatigue, irritation. I mean, I do actually feel that. I don't sleep well and my stomach always has anxiety.
So maybe that's one of them.
So you feel stress, and the working from worth would be, you feel stress and approach the feeling with curiosity and care, both physically and mentally. Okay. So that would be one, that one. And the other one, you stop. And then here's another one. You stop prioritizing basic human needs like eating, sleeping, bathing, sex, hydration, and movement. I don't feel that one, 'cause I do feel like I have done that before.
Exactly. See, like, these are actually milestones and pillars of like, oh, I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. I'm growing.
Yes.
It's a little leaf on your stick.
It is a leaf. Because I do now prioritize my basic needs.
Yeah, it's good.
And bringing yoga back into my life. Like, I had stopped doing that for 3 years, and I have now, it is a priority in my life.
It's good.
Feel overwhelmed and out of control with your schedule. I feel, I now that Allie, my incredible intern's here, she's helped me get on a schedule. I used to feel that way. Mm-hmm. I still feel overwhelmed with finances.
Yeah.
You take ownership of your time. So yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's awesome to see this like written down, mm-hmm. you know, because like,
if you can name it, it gives you a little bit more of a structure and place to work off of.
And I want to go through another key part of this that I think is really amazing. Because how many spiritual gifts are there?
Well, there's a lot of different, you know, ideas of how many, but I put 16 in the course that offer a little bit more practical implication in your everyday life.
So what Tori does, which I think is amazing, is she lists these spiritual gifts, 16, and you tell everyone to pick four, mm-hmm. your top four. Yep. And it's very hard to pick top four, but here's the gift she lists: administration. And I'm not going to read all the definitions, but administration, missions, discernment, evangelism. How do you say that word?
Exhortation,
faith, giving, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, shepherding, service, helps, teaching, wisdom.
Yeah.
And then you go through and you figure out
where's your top four?
So I feel like my top four were discernment. These individuals help people recognize the true intentions of others. Discernment tests the message and actions of others for the protection and well-being of the church, community, family, and workplace. Because, like, to me, I'm taking this as I can truly get to the heart of someone.
Yeah.
I can truly see the true
picture.
You're
not easily fooled.
No, yeah. I don't. Whatever your representative is, I can get to the core of it.
Totally, yeah.
And I want to, because I want to see your truth, because mm-hmm. I know you're a beautiful soul in there. And right. I know everyone is.
Right.
So I feel like I'm gifted there.
Yes, you are.
Exhortation. People with this gift are good at encouraging others and help motivate them to work within their gifting. They can clearly communicate God's word and help people apply it to their action. I feel like I'm really good at that for other people.
Really good.
Maybe not always for myself, but for other people, I'm like, you're so good at this. Yeah. I see you do this.
The biggest trap for the people with the gift of exhortation is they don't know how to admit their own need and receive what they give out to others in return. Because
maybe we don't know what it is that we need.
And you have to be willing to actually, because when you're an exhorter, when you're encouraging everyone else, it's easy to fall into the trap of pride, believing that you have to have the answer and encouragement for everyone else, so you're not allowed to need encouragement or ask for it yourself. So it's when you're leading in exhortation and humility rather than in pride, then it keeps you in the place where you do need to receive it from other people. You do need to hear the same good things. You still need to receive from another person who has the gift of exhortation on your behalf.
So it's finding people that can nurture you as well.
Right. It's surrounding yourself with the other people in your life who have the spiritual gifts that you need.
And then not being mad at people in your life who don't have those spiritual gifts, who can't give them, but instead you can do this so layered. Then you can like try to really see the people closest to you, their gifts,
right,
and honor their gifts.
Exactly.
And help them,
because this is all pulled from scripture where Paul is basically saying in 1 Corinthians, like, the church is a body. Does your arm say to the spleen, I don't need you?
Yeah, I'm doing way more than you.
Do your
spleen?
Eyeballs say to your mouth, like, I'm more important than you? You know, does your heart say to this body? No, if there's any part of our body that's damaged or hurt or broken, we feel it.
Even if it works less frequently, it's still just as valuable.
It's such as necessary because we're all one unified body. So when you know what your top four giftings are, you can come into a room, and when someone has four gifts that are totally different from you, instead of trying to measure up and prove yourself or try to work out a weakness to try to prove to them like you're like them, you actually boldly and confidently
work out a weakness. Say that again.
So like, for example, with your sister, where you said she had all these gifts that I wasn't really good at. Maybe she has the gift of administration because she's detail-oriented.
Very good
at school.
That.
You know, she might have the gift of knowledge. She's able to study and attain
leadership.
Uh-huh. She might have the gift of service and help. So she has four different gifts than you.
That are very, like, you see them.
And in a broken framework, you come in and you see those gifts. You're like, I should have those gifts. It would be like the eyeballs being like, I should do what the spleen does. Instead, it's I can confidently come into the room and go, I have the gift of exhortation. She needs that.
But what if you feel, so I guess you need to do this work with the people you love the most too, because yes. What if they feel let down by you because you don't have their gifts. Mm-hmm. And they don't, they're not able to see your gifts because their gifts are so different.
Right.
And we're all on our own path. So like, what if it that makes,
it's releasing their story and their perception to their own journey. The thing is that if you come in trying to fix them or help them realize something, you're going to end up feeling trapped by needing to prove something
and make everything worse for everybody.
But instead, if you confidently know what God has gifted you to do and what your strengths are, then you hone in on those and you go, you know, I'm really sorry that I'm not very administrative or like detail oriented when it comes to this and that. But I know I hold an essential role in encouraging you and offering you mercy and perspective. I can confidently offer that to you. And I'm really sorry that I fell short on the administration piece.
And then you don't have to be like, because I feel like sometimes people will be like, well, that's a cop out. You just don't want to do that. You're lazy.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that's not true.
It's not true.
Yeah. That's not true.
That's not true. Yeah. It's not a cop out. It's actually something, I'm not good at that. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't, mm-hmm. I do value it immensely.
Yeah. And there may be seasons where you're called to do something that you don't really like for a season, and that's totally fine. But it's knowing like, the best thing that I bring to a room are these key elements. And
focus
elements.
On those instead of feeling like you have to chase someone else's gifts.
Instead of growing a weakness or trying to be someone that you're not. Yes, exactly.
God, this is why everyone needs to do this, because then I realized like hospitality. I love hospitality. The gift with hospitality, the ability to make visitors, guests, and strangers feel at ease.
Yes,
they often use their home to entertain guests. Persons with this gift integrate new members into the body. I love to make everybody feel welcome.
Yeah.
I want everyone to feel seen. I want everyone to feel valued. I want everyone to know that you are so important and welcome here.
Yes.
And that your story is so valuable.
Yes.
And whatever is happening, I want you to feel so loved.
Yes.
And just for being you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to show me anything or prove me anything.
That's right.
And then the other one I feel like is mercy. And maybe it's because I feel like I need mercy, because I feel like I've always not been good enough that people need to give me mercy in my shortcomings.
Yeah.
That cheerful acts of compassion characterized those are the gifts of mercy. They foster an environment of empathy, unity, and compassion by helping people see the needs of others. So what if all my gifts, though, are sprung from my story that I told myself, and they're overcompensating for like what I, because like mercy, that's me wanting to show others what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what if it, is that a true gift or is that an overcompensation for how I felt?
Depends on the motivation.
How does everyone ever get to the bottom of anything?
It depends on the motivation. So but layered. Remember when I said that free people,
uh-huh.
that the freedom in your story is now turning into a gift that you offer others. So you're entering into a place of mercy. You're learning how to receive mercy. And when you've received mercy as a gift and you're giving it away to someone else, not for the sake of you getting something in return, but out of an abundance of gratitude for the worth that's established by God that's unwavering, then you can offer that to someone else without your worth being on the line. And I don't think anybody does this perfectly. It's the reason why it's like this daily call to repentance and like, realign me, God, like bring me back into the right place. But when you walk in freedom and the story that you carry, which is unique to you, your life experience, the hurt done, the healing that's been done by God, the freedom that you're walking in, that turns into the gift and the freedom that you offer other people. It's what you and your life hold authority over, so that you can come to someone else who is maybe 10 steps behind you and going, I've journeyed the road that you've been on. Let me offer you exhortation. Let me offer you hospitality, a place to sit at my table. Let me offer you mercy that someone else didn't offer me, but I'm willing to offer you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
It's powerful.
So your story, it is maybe, it, I don't know if the word's right, overcompensating, but it is a result of your story, but it also becomes a part of you.
Yes.
And then you get to return the gift that you felt maybe it's, that you didn't have. Or
it's
that,
story work.
And you do a lot of that. Like there's like you journal in here.
Yeah.
Like stories.
You got to do the story work. Which I mean, I don't know if we can go through the entire course.
No.
But
we've already gone like
2 hours. I'm like, you're going to have to break this into multiple episodes.
Yeah, we will. We'll do two episodes of this one because it's so good. But the other, we'll wrap with this. The biblical values you have, you go through all these values too.
Yeah, there's a list of 60.
60 values where you have to
narrow it down to your top four. It's so hard.
So it's safety, health, trust, adventure, courage, creativity, respect, authenticity, love, family.
And you're reading that list and I'm like, all these should be important to me, right? Like
all of them.
How is one more important than the other? And it's not that all of them are not important, but when you get to your top four, they help set the boundaries around the way that you use your gifting. So,
okay.
So what are your top four? Did you like have a couple?
Well,
that were-
yeah. Here are my, let me see. This is actually school that I like to do because I'm like, oh, it's growth.
And that is a whole other conversation about the way school works and the trauma that school creates. But, you know,
so there's 60,
for another time.
There's 60. I didn't narrow it down to 60. You said you could do like 12 and then narrow it to four.
Yeah.
So
like there's steps to help you narrow it down. To
I know. My values that I value are safety, health, adventure. I mean, there's more. I'll just do the ones I highlighted. Safety, health, adventure, authenticity. I didn't even pick love, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I pick joy, unity, peace, diversity, excitement, curiosity, adventure, purpose, and community.
You circled a couple.
Purpose and community.
Purpose and community. What would you, be two more that you would circle as in that list? That
purpose, community. Can I? But then you talked.
They're all important, but your top four.
See, I'd want to put like unity and community together. As one.
Right. So it's easy to try to think that certain, and
go
that's
together.
Actually a part of the course is grouping certain values that relate to each other into different groups and then going, which one is the source and which one is the result?
Mm.
So if you prioritize community, it may result in unity.
Okay. So it would be, community would be the one, the big one.
Or it could be opposite. You'd have to decide this for yourself of if okay. I'm prioritizing unity as a value, then community naturally follows. Which one precedes the other?
Mm.
It doesn't mean that both of them are not important. It just means that you have to approach this with curiosity in your own story to see which one is more to be valued. Just only
unity.
Simply
it's unity.
Unity.
Because okay. I want all of us to be supporting each other, accepting each other. And then that's the community I want to build.
Okay. So unity.
I don't want just a community. I want a unified community.
Unity and purpose.
Okay. So unity, purpose. So then community's out. Okay. It'd be.
Community's out. Let's
purpose,
look at the other ones.
Purpose, unity, joy.
Joy. Yeah.
I want myself and everyone to experience joy.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be purpose, unity, joy. See, but then like I want to put purpose and authenticity together.
Mm. So which one precedes the other? If you're prioritizing purpose, does authenticity follow? Or when you're prioritizing a true authenticity that you discover purpose there?
I think it would be authenticity. God, this is interesting. I thought it was purpose and community, but mm-hmm. it's actually authenticity because I just want to be the stick
to
and let the, mm-hmm. let the lease
let
come.
Yeah.
So it would be authenticity, joy, unity, and I do want health and adventure.
But do those follow your purpose and authenticity? Like if you're prioritizing some of these values, is adventure and health something that results from that? Or is it
authenticity? Yes. If I am authentic, then adventure and health and safety, everything will follow. Mm-hmm. So it will be authenticity, joy, unity.
Safety? That was one of your first ones.
But now I'm thinking it might be freedom.
Freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom, authenticity, joy, and unity. See, when you identify your top four, all the rest of the things that result,
like circling these,
I am living a life of health, you know, or prioritizing health in my body or whatever. When authenticity and unity, what were your other ones?
Freedom.
Joy. See, these set the framework for how you use your gifts of exhortation and mercy and hospitality. Because if you just offer those gifts anywhere without knowing the core values that have shaped your life experience so far, then you end up throwing your gifts before the wrong audience.
And then they're not received. And then people, and that's what's happened to me. I think I just... Yes. Throw these gifts out and then people actually don't really like you. Like you're kind of like not, it's like, opposite of being well received. You're kind of like, who do you think you are?
If their whole core value framework is different, then you could try to offer as many gifts as possible. And you're trying
and you're
to
pouring
people,
them on thick.
You're trying to people please them and they're being people pleased. Like, that's not what I want.
And actually it's not what I need. You're repelling me. Like, yeah. I actually like can't stand you.
But you know that when you sit in the room with people whose gifts and values align or they complement one another, how you offer a gift and it's so well received and it's beautiful and it brings life to the room. That's what it looks like to live.
And that's why you have to
working from where
find your audience too.
When you identify these things for yourself, then it gives you clarity and perspective to know when you walk into a room or thinking about a job that you're going to sign up for, a business that you're going to start or a thing that you're going to do. Does this align with the way that God's designed me? Or am I trying to be someone that someone else wants me to be? You know? And if you can't know unless you know who God has created you to be first.
Thank you for doing this hard work and putting this into a course and for welcome. Like sharing your wisdom and for, this is a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it's good. I even love that we got to kind of do a little bit of coaching.
I do too.
And live on the podcast. You're like, oh, I know what my core values are.
And that's another thing you offer is coaching, right?
Yeah. We're hopefully going to be opening up a group coaching element to that. So you guys can like tune in and ask about that in the future for sure. Yeah.
Tori.
Because it's important to have these live conversations.
It is. And it's important to have them with people with knowledge. Like yeah. That is like you are. And I feel like that is what I want to get to in my life is like, where do I have something that I can offer true knowledge to someone like you are doing for me? I feel like I'm just wispy though. Like it's so, just like,
one of the elements though to your gift of hospitality, your gift of hospitality is being used here. Your gift of mercy is being used here. Your gift of exhortation is being used here. You're already living and working in your gifts. You don't need to try to conjure anything else up where you're trying to offer me something more valuable than who you are right now, who God has designed you to be here and now. You don't need to prove anything. There's nothing more that I need from you than all that God has designed you to be here in this moment. You remain here and lean into these core values of unity and authenticity and freedom. And using these gifts that God has designed you with, it's blessing me here right now. You already are offering me the best that you can offer because it's who God's made you to be. Yeah.
God, Tori. Oh, God. Are you giving TED Talks and like speaking around the world?
No, I just love you. But I am here in this room and this is where I want to be. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I mean, now I understand why like people sign up with you and do all this because this is hard work and you need a coach.
Yeah.
And you need a coach who like has your intentions behind it because yours is truly to help people get their gifts, get their core values and live from those.
Live aligned.
So you don't ever feel like you are chasing, people pleasing, having to get the abs, doing what, like me, like, things. Like even feeling guilty for like whatever. Like it's just like we got to get to this place, and it's hard, hard work.
It's such good work. It's such free work, though.
But it's so good. But you have to dig into stuff that we've boxed up and put on shelves, and we have never like, like I have not thought about being second choice to a boy in third grade in ever, maybe. But yeah, it's always maybe in my ether, you know?
Yep. And these are the moments that when these moments of our story are redeemed, that we can actually look back and see that God had already chosen you first before the boy chose you second. That there's this freedom and redemption in these moments in our brokenness in our past, that if we look at it from a different perspective, from a perspective of freedom, it illuminates this different perspective of our story to see, oh, God was tending even there. He was leading me forward even there. But sometimes it takes somebody else in the room to offer you a different perspective to see it. These are important things, though. Important moments in our life to hold and to be curious about without trying to shame ourselves into a result or into a different way of feeling or thinking about it too quickly, but to sit and to lament the brokenness that's been done in our story, whether it's third grade you or 25-year-old you or beyond, that to hold the hurt in someone else's story is such an honor because it always leads to freedom, because it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's what makes us new. So
you're amazing. Tori, I always wrap up with leave your light, which I don't even know how you could answer that, because everything you say is leaving light. What do you want people to know?
I want them to know that they have a purpose that is secured for them in eternity. That's what working from worth means, is that when they've anchored themselves in a purpose that cannot be lost, a purpose that is founded in God's ability and not their own, then that is when the immeasurably more life will be able to be lived in and through them. And I want that for them. I want freedom for them. And it starts there.
You're amazing. Corey, okay, where can everyone follow you?
Where can you can follow me at I am Tori Mahein on Instagram.
So T-O-R-I
M-A-E-H-E-I-N.
And these reels that you do, y'all just want, you just get ready for entertainment.
You need a little sunshine light in your life.
But like, also a lesson or a message. I don't know the correct word. It is like,
I'm also the girl that could like sit here and talk for 2 hours. Like my husband Matt would be like, oh my gosh, how could you talk for 2 hours straight? I'm like, it's a gift. It's part of my gifting. He's like, I can't do that. And we have a podcast called For Eternity and Until. And the link is connected to my Instagram. It might be probably easiest way to find me.
It's on Instagram and everything.
I can send you all the websites to link in the captions and stuff too.
Okay. Tori, thank you so much. This was so powerful and meaningful for me.
Thank you.
And I know people listening are receiving this as well. And I encourage everyone to do this course, because we all need to know why we are here and to get in tune with that.
Amen to that.
Then we don't have to chase and feel lost and all the feelings that we feel have the authority from God.
Amen.
Tori, you're the best. Thank you so much. This will be a 2-part episode. Okay, this was amazing. Bye.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.